And we've been keeping you up to date with what's happening at Wimbledon, but let's leave the old rackets and balls in the corner for a minute, because we want to talk tech with gadget detective Fevzi Turkulp. Fevzi, good to have you on. £400 million fund for ultra-fast broadband. Who's going to be benefiting?
Yeah, so, well, it's a good question. They say that by the year 2020, they want 20,000... millions of premises to be wired up to this. But it is a drop in the ocean, 400 million for this sort of infrastructure upgrade. So just to explain, we're not talking about normal broadband. So the way it works with most normal broadband is that you get fibre going around the country, but that last few yards from your cabinet, those green cabinets that you get in the street to your home, is still copper wire. And that's limiting, yeah. That's the limiting factor on the speeds that you can actually achieve. And they do that because the cost of digging up every building from cabinet to building is immense. So in that context, £400 million from the government is, bordering on laughable. Actually, they say they're using it as seed money to encourage other businesses to match it. But businesses will only really go down this road when it makes sense for them to do so financially.
Right. So as you say, £400 million on the face of it sounds like a lot of money. But they obviously want to get the speeds up, and this is always the big thing, isn't it? The big selling point when it comes to broadband, how quick it is. Is it going to help?
I mean, it will help, but I think that there are still a lot of homes that can't get normal super fast broadband, if you like. There are places where either the exchanges haven't been upgraded, or where the exchanges have been upgraded, but they haven't bothered to do the boxes. And Openreach, kind of got split off from BT earlier this year because of their lack of progress, I think still has some questions to answer. So I don't think we do need this new generation of technology, but 2020 is a long way away. Before then, we could put more pressure on Openreach to actually activate people's boxes so that they can have decent speed from now. Doesn't need to be a gigabit download speed. I mean, that's most people wouldn't know what to do with a gigabit of gigabit per second of data. It's a lot of data. In the future, most of us will want and need that, but at the moment there's things that should be done well before then that don't require this level of spending.
Let's pick up on this story. I saw this the weekend, the drone that caused disruption at Gatwick Airport. Tell us what happened here.
So it's deja vu, this. It keeps happening, and with increasing frequency. So a drone flying close to Gatwick Airport led to the closure of the runway on two occasions for a few minutes on each occasion, leading to five planes being diverted. And, that's awful. I mean, four of them were EasyJet planes that were... one of them was diverted to Bournemouth, and others to Stansted. And these were meant to... you imagine the disruption. You're meant to come down at Gatwick, and suddenly you come down at a different airport. The people who are meeting you are at the wrong place. You may not, know even how to get home from wherever they've landed. And it's because some moron has flown his or her drone too close to the commercial aircraft.
And the rules are really... The rules are really clear on this, though. I mean, you can't do that. So are people just flouting these rules, or is this just people, you call them a moron, are they just that stupid?
Yes, they are. I mean, these are the same sorts of people that shine lasers into the eyes of pilots when they're trying to land aircraft. So the rules are very simple. Don't fly near airports or airfields. Remember to stay below 400 feet. And some drones have interfered with aircraft as high as 12,500 feet. So,
good heavens.
25 times as high as they should be. They need to be at least 50 metres away from any people. You're meant to keep your drone in your line of sight at all times, so don't be flying it around corners or, so high you can't see it anymore. There is a technology that exists, but it's not compulsory. And it's basically where the drone has a GPS positioning chip inside it, and it has maps of where it's not allowed to fly. So then even if the operator tries to fly it near an airfield, the drone won't do it. So that technology should be made standard. And also, I think we're at the sort of stage where we used to be when cars were first invented and driving licenses and regulations had not been, and it was tiger country. You know, people were just driving around willy-nilly doing what they want. And I think that these sort of rules, they need to be backed up by the ability to enforce them, and that would entail a drone having to be registered by its owner and effectively emitting data, transmitting data all the time about, you know, who it belongs to and what it is, and therefore that, you know, the problem is people can go to jail already for this. There's already laws that say that this should not be happening. But if you can't, it's a bit like cyclists, frankly. If you can't actually, you know, register people when they do things that are wrong, then you know, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to bring the law to bear upon them.
Yeah, definitely right.
You need one to stop it through this system of sort of demarked areas where you can't technically fly into them, and then you need to have some sort of identifying beacon on these things so that we can actually see who they belong to.
I think you make some good points. Tell us about your gadget of the week, Fevzi.
Gadget of the week is from a company called Omron. Omron is probably best known for their blood pressure monitors. When you go to a GP, more often than not, you see an Omron unit sitting on their desk doing blood pressure. But they've come up with a new device called an E3 Intense, and it's a TENS machine. For people who know what TENS machines are, it stands for transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. It's where you put these little pads. It comes with two. It's a little pocket device, small, got a little LCD screen, or big LCD screen on it actually, and a couple of pads that you can stick to the part of your body which is ailing you, which is painful. So that could be, you know, your lower back, two pads just above the waist, or on your knee just above and below the kneecap, or, you know, around your neck if you've got pain, you know, in the neck area. And you stick them on. There's wires that lead from that to this E3 Intense device. And then you just tell the machine, and there's a little graphic of a human being. So it just highlight to it the areas that you've stuck the pads in. And then it will run a sort of a pain relief program for 15 minutes. And what it does, essentially, when it works, and these don't work for everybody, I by my experience, some people have great experience with them, some people unfortunately not so much. But when it works, what it does is it blocks the pain message by little electrical impulses being run into the pads. It triggers the relief of endorphins, which are the body's natural painkillers. And also, because it causes contraction and relaxation in that area because of electrical stimulation, it also helps improve blood circulation. So they can be great because they're drug-free. I mean, yes, it produces endorphins, but that's the body doing itself. So for those people who've maybe not had a good experience with drugs, or don't want to try pain relief drugs, or they haven't worked, you know, TENS machines, they are often used, and sometimes, you know, to great effect. And you can, the nice thing is that you can do it at home, but you can even sort of discreetly wire yourself up, as it were, when you're you know, outdoors as well. So it just looks a bit like you're using a music player or something. You've got a couple of white wires sort of stretching across your body. So it's a good thing. The cheapest I've found this one is £45, although you can pay up to 70 for it, so, you know, shop around. And I've given it 4 stars out of 5. One, because it, you know, the TENS machines are good anyway, but it's quite easy to use, the screen is clear, and the pads on it also they're long life pads, so they can be reused up to 150 times. So that's a bonus, because you do have to buy new pads for these things. But if they last 150 times,
then it sounds like you're getting value for money. That Fevzi,
yeah, you should get about 4 months out of it, I guess, that way.
We're going to leave it there. Thanks for that, the gadget detective Fevzi Turkulp with his gadget of the week.